This is The Takedown from Jackrabbit Illustrated. The Takedown podcast is presented by Drake's Place in Bowdell, South Dakota, and sponsored by Jackrabbit Central and Shenanigans in Sioux Falls. Now here's your host of The Takedown, Chad.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Takedown, a Splitting Hairs podcast brought to you by Jackrabbit Illustrated. On our podcast, we focus on South Dakota State Wrestling. My name is Chad Myros, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Jordan Schoenrock. Today, we'll cover the Bison Open, the Warren Williamson Daktronics Open, the duel we had with Augustana College. Augustana University. My bad. They have hockey now. And we'll go over the upcoming match that we have, the big match. Which big match is that, Jordan?
The U of M, University of Minnesota Golden Gophers duel on Sunday. I believe at 1 o'clock on the Big 10 Plus Network.
Yes, or Flow Sports if you already subscribe, right?
I don't know if it's on Flow or not, actually.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know either. But it's a home duel, so it should be.
No, it's in Minnesota.
Oh, I thought why did I think it was at home? Okay, I'm crazy. So let's start off with the Bison Open since we'll go in chronological order. Kick us off, Jordan.
Okay, so at 125, we'll see a new 125-pounder this year, and that'll be Tanner Jordan. He got second at the Bison Open. He dropped a match in the finals to McKee from Minnesota, and McKee is, at the time, was ranked in the top five in the country. He placed third at NCAAs last year. It was a major decision. And then also at 125, we had Bailey Robel, and he got third, and he also got beat by McKee in the semifinals. So our 125-pounders only got beat to McKee at the Bison Open.
So is – sorry, Bailey, well, if your name's wrong, I always thought it was Roybal.
Yeah, I kind of stumbled on that.
Okay, no, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure because I don't want to get anyone's names wrong. We had a pretty good showing also at 133 pounds. We had Trayton Anderson, who got fourth, and Caleb Gross ended up sixth, so that's not too bad. And then at next weight class, we had your buddy, right?
Yep, Team Grit.
And he did...
Clay, really he well. Became the Bison Open champion at 141.
Friend of the pod. 149 pounds. We had our buddy Zach Price and Daniel Kimball, and they tied for third, which is kind of an interesting outcome, I thought.
So with that whole deal, they if we come to a placing match, the coaches usually say it ain't worth wrestling your teammates because
it's only going to count against you, basically. Right?
Well, in the end, actually, your teammates get thrown out of your record when it comes to seeding and that kind of stuff. They will not take. So it's not worth risking hurting yourself or anything like that if it's a placing match. So you can just double default and there'll be nothing. Nothing will go against you or anything like that.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. That's a smart way to wrestle, right? And our coach is always doing the smart things.
And we'll see that a couple more times here as we get down into the DAC Open too, I believe. But at 157, Cale Swenson, he's a redshirt freshman. He plays third. And then Jack Thomas and Kenny O'Neill, they also defaulted out for fifth place against each other.
Yeah, similar deal with Jack Thompson and Kenny O'Neill. Yep. And then at 165, we have Connor Gaynor, and he got fifth, which is pretty good. 74 has me a little concerned. Go ahead, sorry.
At 174, we have Cade DeVos. He ended up injured defaulting out of the championship match. Got a little dung up. I have not talked to anybody this week, but I know the expectations were that he'll be good to go after sitting out last weekend, hopefully.
Did you happen to hear what was it, a knee injury or a...
I believe it was a shoulder injury.
No injuries in wrestling are any good, but shoulders are particularly bad. And Yeah, so he got second, and at 184, we had Tate Bettani and Sam Kruger, and they tied for third, and Jacob Schoon got fifth. And just a little fun fact I'll throw in here, because why not? I got a polite card from Sam Kruger, a thank you for donating card. And it was sent to my wife, actually, whose name is Samantha, and her maiden name is Kruger. So it was Sam Kruger telling essentially Sam Kruger, thanks for the donation. So it's kind of funny. Anyway, I thought so.
Are they related at all?
Oh, no, it's a different spelling. Hers is K-R-O-E-G-E-R. I'm sure it's both German. I'm sure his is too. I know hers is. So.
Well, I'm at 197. We have Nick Kasperson that got third, and then Cody Donnelly got fifth. That Cody is a very tall, lengthy kid. I got to watch him wrestle for the first time. That's going to be a pretty interesting deal here. He actually came here to play football as a D end. And, when he got here, he decided that he didn't like football. So he came over and joined the wrestling team.
We've had some past success with those guys. Anybody remember the Bulldog, friend of the pod? He was a similar story. So former footballer turned wrestler. And, obviously he was a wrestler all along. But at 285, I'll take the heavyweights. That's my favorite weight class because I couldn't even make weight. But we have AJ Nevels, and he ended up second. I think probably one of those deals where not familiar with the opponent and, you know, the inability to have the coaches there warning him about Mets and how he throws, and probably not what he wanted to see there, but ended up second. And our backup, I guess you'd call it our second string wrestler, Bowen, he got fourth. So that's respectable.
Yeah, I would say overall the Bison Open went pretty well for him. Really shows some of our young guys what we're offering here for our redshirt freshmen, as we're redshirting everybody that's a freshman this year, which was the 10th ranked recruiting class in the country. I know a couple of them had bad matches or bad weekends as their first ever competition, and they definitely bounced back during the DAC Open, and we'll talk about them some more there. But
yeah, I mean, I think it wrestled well overall, but not as good as we're capable of, and I don't think the coaches would disagree with that statement. So on to Augie. That was a duel that was supposed to be a triangular, and condolences to a Northern State with the loss they had. But because of that, we ended up with just a duel, and I'll let you start it off.
Okay, so at 125 pounds, Tanner Jordan made his SDSU Jackrabbit debut in Frost, and he came away with a decision against Augustana University's Jackson Roman, I believe is how you say it, 6-4. Tanner, I've heard many times in life that he has a motor, and if he gets into the third period, he's going to out-wrestle you. I personally did not see the motor that I expected on Friday night as much as I thought I was, or that I was excited to see. But I will say, come the DAC Open, that motor was definitely there and running, and he'll be an exciting kid to watch at the 125-pound weight class for us this year. He should be a good fill to replace Danny Vega from the last couple years.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's really good to have another 125-pounder in there that can make a difference, because we were a little lacking last year at that weight class. Then up at 133 pounds, we had Jack Hoffman that defeated Trayton Anderson 10-4. One of the few losses, and I don't know what else to say. Trayton's still young, and he's got a lot of room for improvement.
And then at 141, we got Clay Carlson. He defeated Cage Langer. Sorry, I'm not good with last names here.
I think Langer.
And he pinned him in 3 minutes and 44 seconds. When we had Clay on the show, he said he wanted to score 10 points every match. He came out and did that. was about time for the Tech, and he put the hammer down and stuck him to the mat. So it was a great welcome back to Frost for Clay after last year's AA, All-American and national tournament run that he had.
What we really should have done when we had him on the pod is convinced him to just wear that mask all the time, because that thing's awesome.
The Darth Vader mask.
the Darth Vader mask. Big fan. After that, as our 149-pounder, we had Zach Price, and he got his pin at 5:40. I guess that's pretty much what we expected to see there. And, yeah, I mean, we're wrestling a D2 school, which doesn't mean they're really worse. They have some real good guys, too. It's just, on average, we should be better. And I think the results speak for that, so.
You know, at 149 pounds, Price has not had the best year yet this year, and he's getting there, as we'll talk later on. He's really still growing into that 149 pound match. So as fans, don't think Zach Price has lost it yet. We're just getting him, or he's just getting himself situated and
learning
that heavier weight.
Quite a few of our guys move up, and there's going to be some growing pains with that. So,
At 157, we had Kenny O'Neill. He defeated Tyler Wagoner, 7-0. That was a good match for Kenny O'Neill and home, and I was very impressed with how he wrestled that match.
And I'm glad you let me have the next one, because who doesn't love to see Tanner Cook throwing guys around, getting pins, of course. As he always does, it's a thing of beauty. And 22 seconds in, gets his pin, man. You can't ask for much better than that. So,
you know, I was doing live tweeting here for South Dakota Scouting Report at the match, and I couldn't even find Miles's name or even know who he wrestled. And I'm just getting ready to send the tweet, and the crowd just blew up. And the only thing I had time to do was look up, watch him smack the mat, and I had to look over at the clock, because in your prediction last week, you said that he was going to get a pin within the first 30 seconds. And he must have seen that, as he got it in 22.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you just got a feeling. And, you know, I knew he'd get that one. That's almost, if you're going to live tweet for Tanner, you almost got to, like, have that tweet going before they shake hands, like win by fall, you know, because it's going to happen more often than not. That's just his thing.
Yeah. You know? At 174, Cade Mueller for Augustana defeated Marshall Hawk of SDSU 5-0. Marshall's a kid that redshirted last year. He's a freshman again this year. He kind of dung up his shoulder in this match a little bit, and but he wrestled and he came out stepping up for DeVos and gave SDSU a little bit of a show.
But I mean, 5-0 is a pretty good, respectable match. I mean, yep. Especially if he ended up hurt. So
yeah,
I'm sure he would have liked to wrestle better himself. You know, but. At 184, we had Tate Batani, our freshman, come up and wrestle. And he wrestled Kobe Kost from Augie. And Augie got a major decision. This is one of the places where I think he scored some points on me. And you watched this match. Did you see anything you liked out of the new kid?
I'm personally friends with Tate. And I know that he was not very happy with his performance. He had a very good first period, had two pretty easy takedowns on defense and everything, and then something just snapped in his brain and it kind of just went away, I'd say. And I think that him and the coaches and everybody on the team will get that straightened out, and Tate will be a pretty good 184 pounder for us by the end of the year. As we got to remember, it's just going, all that matters is March. So got little gimmicks and hiccups that we got to get figured out here. And I think Tate showed in the first 3 minutes of the match that he can be a pretty good 184 pounder for us as the season rolls on.
You just need a little more of that.
At 197, we have Nick Kasperson, as Tanner Sloan is still out. He went out in major decision. Daniel Bishop, 12-3. Nick is wrestling really good right now. I'm very glad to see it. I almost wish we could find another spot in the lineup for him here when Tanner comes back, because Nick has been a very good contributor this early season for us so far.
I mean, he's a South Dakota guy. I loved watching his career before. I know he had his struggles last year wrestling for us, and it's really good to see him get out there and get some wins and get some confidence. I mean, I don't know that he needed it, but it's good to get wins. It doesn't hurt, you know, to get those and build up your confidence. And then at heavyweight, we had AJ Nevels, and he defeated Steven Hayas. Maybe I got that right. It's a J in there. By fall, 6 minutes and 17 seconds. I think we're going to see a lot of pins from AJ this year. I hope so. I mean, he's a heck of a wrestler. He's got that pedigree from before, and I think heavyweight's going to get us some points that we desperately needed in years past, and that's going to be a big asset come duels in our conference.
With AJ, one thing that I don't know a lot of people know about this Steven kid placed third last year in the D2 national tournament. He was an AA. AJ came out, and to me, that was a big win for AJ. I thought it'd be a lot closer match. AJ came out and stuck him. Nice welcome to Frost, AJ, and we're excited to have you here. Then we had two exhibition matches. The first one was with Danny Kimball, and he wrestled Noah North, and DK made it, stuck the kid in 6 minutes and 55 seconds. Big win there for DK on an extra match.
Yeah, and at 165, we had Dalton Lakeman wrestling Dylan Shuck, and he unfortunately got pinned in 3.5 minutes. Extra matches can go that way. So, like to see our guys get some extra wrestling, though, against people that aren't in the room. So, definitely an advantage to have those extra matches.
You know, DK's another one of them kids that is really balling out right now. He's looked pretty good this fall, this fall, early winter, early season. Well, he'll be a good one spring to watch as it goes on and the lineup gets shaken out places. Some things I want to touch on. I just want to give a shout out to Nick. I know that it was tough to wrestle on Friday night with everything going on, and he went out there and put on a very good show. And I'm proud of the grit and toughness and how he could put everything away and go out there and do that, as he was a Legends of Gold kid, and so was the Aberdeen kid. So they knew each other growing up and very good friends. Something else I want to touch on. So I tweeted out here, the attendance was 869 people in Frost Arena last Friday night. It was a D2. We know the atmosphere was down because the wrestling community was down a little bit. I personally took it upon myself I want to challenge everybody. Next duel is January 9th. And I want everybody that was there, they can tell you that this is going to be a very exciting team. And we have two very tough duels that day. I am asking everybody that was there to bring one friend. It is our responsibility as fans to sell out Frost Arena, and we do it by one person at a time. So you bring one friend. Hopefully the next time they can bring one friend. The next time, you know what I mean? Every time we can double. Just so snowball. I'm hoping to have 1,738 fans if everybody brings one fan next time, and we'll have that place rocking. I believe, don't quote me on this, I believe that it is you and I in Wyoming that night. Once again, correct. It is the students are just moving back in that day, so there's not going to be a huge student section. So we need the crowd and the adults and the kids to show up and bring that amazing atmosphere for us. Yes, we'll wrestle Wyoming at 12:30 and you and I at 2 o'clock on January 9th. It's a Sunday. It will be two very good duels as both teams are ranked in the top 25, and I foresee us going that way too by then.
Not only that, with those two duels, that's a lot of wrestling bang for your buck. The rest, for those of you that listen and don't go to the matches, which I'm afraid there's a couple, but if you can make it to Brookings, it's going to be some of the best entertainment value for your dollar. The wrestling matches are some of the most fun that you can have at an SDSU event, and they're cheap. They're dirt cheap. You know, season tickets are what, $75?
I believe so.
I mean, that's just so cheap with all the wrestling we have going on. And do you want to keep going?
Sorry. We have people that are going to put on a show this year. I mean, right now we got 7 out of our 10 wrestlers nationally ranked in the country. Right. This is probably the best team to walk through South Dakota State ever.
Not only that, we've had one of our best recruiting classes. And, you know, let's not look past that. We got some young guys that are going to be pushing and making the other guys better or usurping them, you know, if it comes to that. So it takes a while to get used to the college level wrestling, I think, for a lot of guys. But, you know, it's a whole different level than high school. So we've seen that in the past where guys have had a year and come on the next year. So why don't you take us over to the DAC Open, Jordan?
Okay. So, excuse me. At the DAC Open, 125, we had Tanner Jordan place fourth. He pulled upset over a ranked wrestler. Yep. That was huge. Vaulted him into the rankings on Flow this week. It was a very interesting tournament. He really showed tough grit, a motor. A lot of matches at this DAC Open for all these wrestlers.
Yeah, it's a great time. We had Derek Cargnall place fifth at 133. That's a great showing with all that. We're getting more and more, I'd say, tougher competition at the DAC these days. Having a couple better programs step up and wrestle, it's becoming a bigger deal. And so getting fifth is respectable.
At 141, I just want to touch on this because we didn't say anything on it. Clay did sit out. Damian touched on it in his conference, press conference this week, that he just sat him out because it's a long season and Clay's a workhorse and we needed to pull the reins back a little bit for him. So nothing wrong with Clay. He'll be in the lineup come Sunday night or Sunday and we'll be good to go there. At 149, Zach Price placed fourth and Alec Martin placed fifth. This was another tough one as we had to wrestle Zach and Alec, they all had to wrestle DK. They all had to wrestle each other to get into placing matches and stuff like that. All three of them are right there. They all went into overtime. Danny Kimball did not place at this tournament, but he did end up beating the kid that upset Zach Price at the Bison Open very handily. I think he majored him. So they are all, our 149-pound class is looking pretty stout. Zach's wrestling better and better. I think Zach's fourth place match, even though he lost, he was probably his best match so far at 149. Zach needs to just finish his shots more than anything. He's got to get that little more muscle going for him there. Something that I'm sure you will like and some of our fans will like, Zach Price hit 3 gator rolls in that placing match. Unfortunately, all three of them were failed attempts, but that's another one that we have to look for. It looks like he's taken after one of his good friends, Tanner Cook, and we could have some more fireworks coming if Zach can figure out how to hit that move right.
Well, and another thing to consider when you move up a weight, especially since, you know, I've been in the bigger classes, it's harder when you're shooting on the bigger dudes, you know, and you got to get accustomed to that. And I would think at first maybe it's a little bit of a cautionary thing, you know, to be a little more hesitant. So don't fault him there, but we need to see a little more aggressiveness, like you said, and finish those shots out since he's taken them. At 157, we had Kenny O'Neill and Kale Swenson, and they tied for fifth. It's not too bad. I don't know who we'll see. Who do you suppose is going to be, or should we wait maybe on that for projected lineup?
Kale is actually a freshman, so he's redshirting this year.
Oh, he is redshirting. So, I didn't know that. So, thank you.
All of our freshmen this year are redshirting. They're with the COVID year and everything. They're just kind of working to build the future.
Sure. And the guys from last year, there's going to be some dudes that took COVID years, right? So they're going to get one extra year of wrestling, right?
Yep. There's a lot of them that we could see for another year that we thought were going to be done after this season.
Right. So that's not terrible for us.
Nope. At 165, Tanner Cook got sixth. He in the NCAAs, I believe it's six. Is it five?
He got fifth.
Oh,
right. It's tied for fifth.
He had to forfeit his fifth place match due to too many matches that had already been wrestled on the day. I think it's six. Right, that was going to be a seventh place match. Nothing to really worry about. Little concern. Tanner dung up his ankle the first match of the day. I think it was 4-3 to NDSU match. He wrestled five more matches on it after that. You could tell that he was favoring a little bit, but he'll be good to go. He got a couple more pins. He's the Tanner Cook that we're all used to seeing. He's going to be just fine. He took two losses, but I think both of them losses are matches that are going to get revenged when we face them again, as one was to Iowa State and one was to NDSU.
Yeah, I think I look for him especially to revenge that NDSU one. We know we get pumped up for that. And at 184, we have Sam Kruger again, and he got fifth. So that's not a bad showing for him.
No, at 197, we had Nick Kasperson. He was in the finals. He ended up getting second. Once again, Nick wrestled a good weekend. He's wrestled good all year long. I'm excited to see how he continues to fill in.
And then we wrestled Bone McConville at heavyweight. I guess we say 285 these days. And he got fourth, which isn't too bad. Why don't you take us over to the next segment? We're going to talk a little bit about our projected lineup where we wrestle number 15, Minnesota. For those of you wondering, we have SDSU currently is ranked 27th. So if we can beat Minnesota, that would be an upset.
Yes. So when I found these rankings, I use WrestleStat rankings for teams, and I do full rankings for the individuals here that we're going to talk about. At 125, now once again, these are all projected lineups. I have not talked to nobody to get confirmation on who's going for us, who's not going for us this week, as that will be a conversation later in the week for my information that I put out on the Dakota Scouting Report. But we have number 9, Pat McKee versus Tanner Jordan. These two have already faced off once this year in the early season. Tanner lost 11-3, a major decision. As of now, I am hoping that Tanner just gets a decision here, and that's going to make a big difference in the team scores if we can keep it within 7. Pat McKee, last match, got upset. I have a feeling he's going to come out and want redemption. He got upset at home to Oklahoma State. So Tanner's going to have to wrestle a very good match, but I think Tanner is very doable in doing that.
Yeah, I think Tanner can get that one too. And then at 133, we'll have Minnesota's Jake Gilva versus either Trayton Anderson or Caleb Gross. That's going to be everybody on their lineup's good, but that's probably a winnable match.
Yes. At 141, we have number 23, Jake Bergerland versus Clay Carlson. For us, Clay's number 10. They have also wrestled earlier this year. Clay beat him 4-3 at the Bison Open by a decision. I expect Clay to open up his offense a little more and put some more points on the board in this match, if I had to guess.
Nothing like wrestling in your home state. Clay, you need to get it done. We have your match highlighted as one of the keys to our win. So 149 pounds. Minnesota's bringing Michael Blockus, and we have Zach Price. And Zach, man, I believe in you. Let's get it done, buddy.
At 157, this is going to be a very tough match for Kenny O'Neill, but he's going to take on number five, Braden Lee of Minnesota. They've also wrestled this year already at the Bison Open. And Braden Lee won 11-3, major decision. Kenny, if that's who gets the nod or if Jackpot gets the nod here, we'll have a tall task, but we are Jackrabbits and we don't back down from anything.
Jackpot. You better expand on that, my friend.
That's just kind of what we call Jack Thompson around the area. We just, that's his nickname.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good deal. And then at, 165, we've got number 20th ranked Andrew Sparks versus Tanner Cook. And we know what Tanner Cook does, right? So let's see a throw, buddy. I need some more pins.
So at 174, we'll have 21st ranked Jared Kratiger versus 18th ranked Cade DeVos. This is gonna be probably the match of the night, really. Right. Two very evenly ranked kids. I expect this match to be a close barn burner, and hopefully Cade can sneak that one out.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention this match, along with Tanner Cook's match, was another of the two of the three that we have highlighted to be basically deciding matches on the night for whether or not we can pull off the upset. I think that quite possibly this could be one of the last matches of the night, as if you're not familiar with college wrestling, the coaches get together and decide the order of the wrestling. So could be right away and it could be last. I don't think, what do you think, man?
I know Damien usually likes to just start at 25, just kind of, sometimes they'll change it up. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of brain power that goes into them decision-making things. A lot, if you can't agree on one, then you draw. Like, there's a lot of what ifs, but I know coaches look at it kind of and say, well, this guy doesn't cut as much as this guy, so we want to get him on a stomach where he's just putting food in instead of later on. And I'm glad they're the coaches and not me and have to make that decision on what weight we want to start at.
Yeah, I've always wondered a little bit about that process. I figured there was so much that went into it because, you know, it's kind of a tactical thing, I guess. So up next, we'd have Isaiah Salazar for the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and he'll be wrestling either our freshman Tate Batani or Jacob Shoon. Brookings native, right?
Jacob? Yep. Shoon is from Brookings.
I gotta love the hometown guys, and hey guys, go out there and get it done. That's all I can say. Wrestle your tails off. It's gonna be tough. Oh. Sorry.
At 197, we got Michael Foy versus Nick Kasperson. This is gonna be another close barn burner match, I feel like.
Yeah, and again, you said Nick's been wrestling real well. I'd love to see him get another win here. That'd be a big one for him, I think, you know, just based on geography and so forth. After that, we have the heavyweight matchup, the number one ranked gold medalist, Gable Steveson, who I begrudgingly cheered for. And it was kind of worth it for the, that's about the only time I'm going to cheer for you, dude, if you listen to this, which I know you don't, but, versus AJ Nevels. And that's going to be a big match. I think it's going to be a dog fight, you know, a typical heavyweight match where it goes all three periods. Hey buddy, it's a big match. Get it done. You know, I know that's a really tough ask, but, if any of our heavyweights that have had to wrestle him in the past can do it, you're good. You got the best luck there, the biggest shot, I guess. So love to see an upset there. That'd be huge, right?
That would be huge.
It'd be all over every wrestling publication too.
Well, the number two heavyweight got pinned last weekend. Princeton
pinned the Iowa kid. Yeah, nope. I saw that. That's so it can happen. You know, everybody has an off day or quote unquote gets caught. It does happen. It sure wouldn't hurt his rankings if that were to happen. And you want to talk about the last duel they had there quick?
Yeah. So Minnesota just dueled Oklahoma State last weekend. It was 23-10. That was in Minnesota. I feel like Minnesota's going to come out with a chip on their shoulder. They got upset at both 125 and 49 last weekend. These kids are going to come out. We're going to have to be ready because they're going to punch us in the mouth. It's Minnesota. It's recruiting. It's the Damian Hahn Hall of Fame hangs right on the wall when you walk in that place. Mm-hmm. Big picture of him. Coaches, alumni. It's two teams that coaching staffs are very familiar with. It's going to be a very, very hard-fought match here. That's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I think we have a lot to gain by having a good showing, and like you said, especially in the recruiting, you know, because we're going head-to-head against them for guys now, and you know, and we got a lot to offer, and we got even more coming up. So we've got. Again, we highlighted 141, 165, and 164 as matches that we had to win. Swing matches would be 139, 149, 97, and 84. And we really need to keep 25, 57, and heavyweight close. That bonus points are going to be key. We got to take them where we can get them. And hopefully I didn't steal too much of your thunder there. But, yeah, definitely – always score, 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 right? Score early, score often. There's nothing wrong with getting points on the board.
Yep, that's going to be it. This, according to WrestleStat, this throughout the season so far, we've been tied with them. We've been down by a point with them. We've lost by 6 points to them. As if anybody doesn't know, WrestleStat kind of does a projection of every duel, so you can see who they think is going to win, what the final score is, yep, all that kind of stuff. It comes down to everything, and it's going to be bonus points.
Speaking of that, we had some predictions on our last duel, and I didn't use WrestleStat for the record, and I am aware of it. I don't know if you did, but how'd that fare? Why don't you run through that for us?
So, at our last duel, the final score was SDSU 34, Augustana University 10. We're kind of doing a fun little thing here where we get points for everything. If we predict the final score perfectly, we get a 10-point bonus. Neither one of us did that this time. Chad predicted it 45-0, and I predicted it 36-3.
Yeah, and honestly, you're closer than I am. I was a little too homerish, maybe, but
I mean, we had the opportunity, and I think there were some things that we thought were going to happen, a couple matches that we thought were going to happen that didn't happen because we did make these picks right as the Northern news was breaking and that kind of stuff. So it kind of made us just guess a little bit on our lineups and stuff like that. So if you predict the winner correctly, you get you get 1 point. And then if you predict the major, the decision, a tech, or a pin correctly, you get another point. So at 125, we both got 1 point. At 133, I got 2 points. Chad got zero. At 141, we both got 1 point there with pick and clay. At 49. Chad nailed it out of the park with a Zach Price pin. I had Zach Price by points, so I only got 1 point. He got two. At 57, we both got two. At 65, we both got the Tanner Cook pin correct. At 74, we both got 0 points there. At 184, we both got 0 points. At 197, Chad got 2 points and I got 1 point. At heavyweight, Chad got 2 points and I got 1 point. So as of now, the total score on the season is 12, 12 points for Chad and 11 for me. So he's sneaking that 1 point ahead of me right now. We got a long season to go still, but I'm already
a W is a W. I'm gonna take it where I can get it. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm not gonna gloat too much about a 1 point W, but it is a W. It's a long season. Lots of wrestling ahead of us. I'm excited for the season. I know it's already got going, but to me, it hasn't started in earnest, and that'll happen this Sunday. And I can't wait to see the results, because I think we can show out pretty well.
Yes, I think Sunday's going to be a big weekend and a very big duel. And with this new building, every big duel is going to matter now for recruiting, because it's going to be results now. We have the facilities to compete with them. Now it's just the results.
And we got a bunch more money in on the Frost Arena renovation this last week too. So that's some big ish news for the wrestling program. It does affect them, not as much as the room, but that's big news as well. For those of you that didn't know that, go feel free to look it up. It's out there on the Google machine.
Well, speaking of giving big money out, usually every week we touch on Track the Jack.
Yes.
But unfortunately for some of us.
Those of us that were spending a lot of their money. Yeah.
Fortunate for Heidi. Heidi Stephenson took home the Track the Jack jackpot. She drew the Jack of Clubs here a couple weeks ago or a week ago or whatever. And she took home $6,137. So that was a good thing. As a fan, I just want to say thank you to everybody that donated to help make the JWC a better place and a better deal for all of us, as I know they have big things in store here for the JWC as it comes up, or as the seasons go on and U23s and that kind of stuff will start rolling around again.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, that the Jackrabbit Wrestling Club pays for people to go overseas to different tournaments, travel, hotel, all those things. It's great for wrestling in the area, and it's especially great for Jackrabbit Wrestling. So Terry Youngin says, Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, Terry. Thanks for stopping by. It's good to see you at the last home game. Maybe we'll see you on Saturday. I don't have a whole lot more to cover. Anything else that you'd like to cover?
So just a little quick update here about something that I thought was kind of funny here. When we had Cody on, we asked him over under on pins this year.
That's right.
And if my memory is right, he told us 5. And with them 5 pins, Tanner Cook has already met the 5 pins. So as long as he gets one more, he's already going to be over the total number of pins, which I thought was pretty low. And I've said that before, but that'll be fun. It'll be fun to see if Tanner can get it here in Minnesota. If not, they're headed to Vegas. So what a better place to beat the over and under than in Vegas for the Vegas tournament here. Not this weekend, but the following weekend.
Do you suppose that was a little motivational technique by the coach there? Oh, I don't think you can get that many. Like,
I think.
Well, gamesmanship.
Knowing the coaches, I think it was humbleness. He didn't want to sound too cocky or put any pressure on anybody. So it was a safe bet there.
I think a safe bet's to add 5 to that total, you know. I'd take the over on that too, honestly. I think he's got another good 5 or 6 in him. So, well, if there's nothing else, I'll let you go. And it was great talking with you. We'll one other shout out. Rabbit Rant uploaded a new podcast of their own the other day, so go check that out. Marty Mueller Luke Zilverberg, they do an excellent job and have a little bit different format and style than we do from time to time, especially in the season. So go give them a listen. They're out on Spotify, Apple, anywhere you get your podcasts. We're lucky. We have two podcasts for our program going right now for wrestling. That's fairly uncommon for a market like ours, if you want to call it that. We have great wrestling support. Our fans are very rabid. I think we need to see more of that in Frost for the next home meet. Like Jordan was saying, get there, get your butts in the seats and get loud.
As I'm going to say, it starts with one friend. It all starts with us. Everybody bring one and we'll just continue to grow it.
And if they get to see the atmosphere, they're going to want to come back. So it's pretty easy sell. Once you've gotten them to go buy the ticket, it's cheap.
And I was going to say, I think it's cheaper than the movies nowadays anyways. So
it is cheaper than the movies.
Hey, Terry, our next home duel is January 9th at 12:30 against Wyoming and then 2 p.m. against you and I. So that should be a fun one. Our next on the road meet is Sunday at 1 o'clock, I believe, in Minnesota against the Golden Gophers.
Yeah, that would be up here. 1 p.m. at Minnesota. The Cliff Cleans are after that Friday, December 3rd through Saturday, the 4th, excuse me. And then we go to the Doan Open down in Crete, Nebraska. We do wrestle at Nebraska, which is within driving distance if anybody wanted to go. That's a 2 p.m. match on a Saturday. That's definitely doable. The unfortunate thing is if all things go right, we'll probably still be playing football at that time. And then the Midlands and the Southern Scuffle are right on their heels. And then after that's when we have our next home meet. So it sounds like Terry's going to be there, and we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Perfect, Terry. Hopefully you bring a friend. That's what we need.
Well, he can always bring his wife. I know she goes with him. So with that, I think it's
one other thing I do want to touch on quick here for the people that have missed this. With the talking about the rabbit rant, Luke Ziegelberg was named our recruiter now. He took over for Nate Roeder, and then it was announced that Marty Mueller is back for another season of grad assistant, so he's in the room too. I know Luke and Marty are both excited to be in the room, and they're great Jackrabbits to help carry on the Jackrabbit tradition that we have here.
Well, thanks to those of you that caught us live. If you're not watching us live, and thanks for listening to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to. And with that, I think we need a get jacked on 3, 3, 2, 1.
Get jacked. Get jacked.
This podcast has been brought to you by Jackrabbit Illustrated. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, Drake's Place in Bowdell, and to Jackrabbit Central and Shenanigans. Subscribe to this podcast and all of the Jackrabbit Illustrated podcasts, and like and follow Jackrabbit Illustrated on Facebook and Twitter. And go big, go blue, go Jacks!